Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Don't wait. These deals are happening right now. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. With Blinds.com, there are no long lines or confusing quotes. You shop online without sacrificing quality, style, or service. One of our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Plus, you get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Blinds.com's Black Friday sales event is happening now with our best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric. I'm here flying solo today till about 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. One line open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. You know, the more I thought about that last call where she was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you said that. She had mentioned that she was doing everything online already, right? If she had called up and said, you know, Erica, do everything locally. I use paper statements. I call my financial planner to make changes. What do you recommend? The whole conversation could go on a different way, right? She's already embraced doing online banking or online financial management. You can get TurboTax online. So you can do everything online if you've chosen to go that way. It's not like I've gone to the dark side here and said, hey, go ahead and do that. You still can choose to not do that, right? So I still get paper statements. I still call my financial planner to make adjustments and changes. So there's two ways to approach it, but I only wanted to solve it for her need, right? She was saying what she needed. There is not necessarily a right way. You know, who am I to say what's the right way? If your way, though, is basically online, a Chromebook can work, right? And you can embrace that technology and understand the risks. What I was bringing up a little bit before we went to the break was there's a company, a Dutch company in May that got completely nailed, Wolters Kluwer. they manage a software product called CCH, which a lot of accounting firms use. And their cloud-based hosting of their software got nailed with ransomware. They were impacted. So many, many thousands of accounting firms who chose to embrace the online approach of buying their software were impacted. The site went dark. So there's a lot of reasons why businesses may or may not decide to go to the cloud, because when your cloud goes down, you cannot service your customers. When you are your own entity, you being impacted is a little different than having something out of your control being impacted. That's why we are the way we are about cloud. So I'm trying to clarify that for you. It was based on her need, what she was saying she was doing. I'm still not a big fan of the cloud per se. Let's go to the next call here. Bob in Waterbury has been on the longest. Hey, Bob.
How you doing? Happy New Year and everything.
Thanks, you too.
My Xfinity bill was about $190 a month.
Wow.
And then, yeah, I know. And then last month, me and my daughter decided to get a security alarm through Xfinity.
Oh, boy.
All right. So we could deal with that. I was able to deal with the $39 monitoring fee, another $20 for you know, paying off the equipment. Mm. So I figured that 189 bill would be about 250. I get the bill now, it's 290.
Wow, so 300 bucks.
So I look at my old bill. The select triple play was I got a $40 discount for some bundling crap.
Mm-hmm.
My new bill is only down to $15.
Yeah.
So it just seems like a weird time here. I just buy a security alarm from them, and they nail me another $25 a month for the bundling thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I go, well, thank you very much.
And just look at your fees, too. Look at your taxes and fees on top of that.
Oh, yeah. They're all. And then my another thing I asked about the modem rental. Mine went from 13 to 14. And you've talked about modems.
Yeah, you can buy your own.
Right. So now what's the difference between a modem rental and a Wi-Fi thing? Is there two different pieces of apparatus?
Well, it's a great question, right? So if you look at Wi-Fi, think of Wi-Fi like your shower head. Imagine if your water company, MDC, let's say it's MDC, was able to charge you to get the water to your house and then charge you by the shower head to get water to your head to take a shower. That's what these internet companies are trying to charge you for. They're trying to charge you for the internet and then charge it again as the Wi-Fi. They're both the same thing. When the water comes to your home, internet comes to your home, that's as far as they need to go. So I go
to Best Buy, I buy a modem thing.
You buy a modem?
Right. That's the only piece of equipment I need, right?
You need also a device that's going to give you Wi-Fi to your home. So you'll need what's called a wireless router. So a modem, you'll need just an Infinity modem, Comcast-ready modem, and then any router they've got there that's designed for your home, whether it be an Asus or a Linksys. You know, you can pick, you know, in $150, $180 bucks, you connect the modem to...
I could pay that off in a year.
Yeah, it'll pay for itself in no time.
And another thing, now, me and my daughter don't do any gaming or any video thing or nothing.
Yep.
All we have is the Wi-Fi and her computer. And I heard you talk about the 300 millibits.
We don't need that. You don't need 300 megabits for two people. You would do fine with 50. And probably they won't even offer that as their smallest one. But you want to call them back and get a price on just having the internet, their smallest, slowest package. 50 megabits is what you need. If they offer 25, you probably would be okay.
Well, I'm going to ask them about, you know, why they whack my bundle thing from 40 down to 15.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm going to say, you know, you guys do know that people are cutting the cord, right?
Yeah. So if you could just go get your own modem, get your own router, and then you could cut the cable TV altogether and just use YouTube TV. Get rid of your phone line because I'm sure you.
How much would I say from going down from 300 megabits? Because that's all included in the triple play thing.
It's all baloney. You're getting bandwidth you don't need. So again, equating it back to water, you have a one inch pipe going to your home, right? They're telling you they're giving you a 12 inch pipe going to your home. Do you think you need more for your shower?
Right. Yeah.
So they're just charging you a big pipe. They don't 300 megabits to you is. Utterly useless.
We don't do any of that video gaming or nothing.
My kids come home and I can do all that on 65 megabits.
All right. Yeah, I'm going to call them back and I'm going to say thanks for the Christmas present.
Yeah.
You know, after I just threw them another $100 a month for
security.
The security.
Yeah.
And then the modem goes up and then naturally in Connecticut the sales tax went up.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. If you make all those changes, you'll save some money.
Enjoy your show.
You too, Bob.
All right.
All right. Bye bye. Yeah, you can make a lot of changes and save a lot of money. I mean, if you just look at all the FCC fees that are part of the cable service, all you'll pay is sales tax on your. Actually, I don't think you pay tax on the internet alone. So keep an eye on that. Let's go on to Kyle in Durham next. Hey, Kyle.
Hi. Good morning, Eric. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have three or four older computers. Well, the oldest one's like 2016, and I just actually yesterday I just bought a new computer because I'm running Windows 7 on that one still. So I'll use the new one for online stuff. But the older ones, I have large quantities of data, mostly MP3 files. That, like, say every couple of months, I dump it back and forth between those two or three computers and a couple of external drives.
Yeah.
Just to keep everything, because I'm always adding, you know, information to MP3 files. And back when I started, you know, I have a huge CD library. And back when I started in 2002, changing everything to MP3 or putting everything as MP3 files, I was doing them at a, you know, sampling rate of 192.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, now I'm doing everything at 320. But yeah. Anyway, I keep upgrading the files, and like every couple of months, I dump, like, you know, say at least 150 gigs of information back and forth.
Yep.
Somehow I have the idea, or I got the idea from somewhere, that you were better off with a standard spinning disk type drive rather than doing that with a solid state drive. Now, am I crazy? Is there any validity to that? Or
no, it wouldn't be better or worse. It'll be cheaper. So solid state gets you performance, and for video editing and stuff like that, or CAD work, it's great for performance. But for just MP3 processing, a standard spinny drive at 7200 RPM should do fine, and you'll have more storage for less price.
But there's no reason that there shouldn't be any reason. Say I bought a new computer, even the one that I just bought yesterday, I stuck with the the standard one mm-hmm. terabyte.
Yep.
But there should be no reason, like if I bought a computer with a solid state drive that I couldn't like swap or change, you know, maybe every couple of months, like, you know, a large quantity of data.
No, the solid state drive is going to still survive. I mean, it has a limitation on how many times you can read and write on solid states.
That's what I was wondering, or that's what I'd heard. Just doing that every couple of months or so shouldn't be a problem.
It shouldn't be. I mean, most consumer solid state drives shouldn't be impacted at all. Heck, we're using solid state drives in the servers that we build for businesses, so you shouldn't be impacted.
Hmm. Okay. Well, basically, that was the question.
Okay.
So, you know, I don't expect that there would be any problem. Like, say, I wanted to, you know, eventually get a computer with a solid state drive, shouldn't have any
you shouldn't have any issues. And the thing is too, Kyle, you're going to make the solid state drive your boot drive, so you're still going to put your data, you could do as a secondary drive for your data for your MP3s.
Yeah.
or even RAID the secondary drive, so you have two cheap 1 terabyte drives in there that are RAIDed, RAID one, and if one goes, at least you're protected, and then do a backup. So I would spend
basically I have a couple of external drives, and
okay.
Of course they keep, you know, some of the computers and drives, and of course, they keep them in separate places, so you know, in case anything ever, just to save the.
Yeah, you never know.
Batch of music there.
You never know.
It's funny, back when I started doing it, a 40 gig hard drive was actually considered large.
Yep.
Back then, I remember 2002, and
yeah,
I believe it or not, I'm still running XP on a couple of them. I have a copy of XP. It's amazing how fast XP runs when you don't have all of the other stuff cluttering it up. You know, like
yeah.
The antivirus and everything.
Yeah.
I mean, I just have programs that I used to like how they ran on XP, and I couldn't get them to run on.
Exactly. No, you're right. The program was a great program for its time.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you. That's basically was my question.
All right, Kyle. Thank you. Yep.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. Am I stepping out, Matt, for a break here? Yeah. I'll step out for a quick break. Get back to your calls. John, Bill, and one line open for you. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric. Bob is off today, and I'll be here till 11 o'clock. And then Dr. Leslie will be in with Healthy Rounds, and he'll give you a second opinion on your health advice. Let's go right to your calls. You're nice enough to join me, and I'm going to go right to John in Woodbury next. Hey, John.
Hello. I just got my Chromebook yesterday.
All right.
For my financials.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I moved my 401s, and I moved my bank accounts to it. Should I move my credit card accounts to it also?
They're all app-based, right? So you can use your Discover app or your Visa app. Sure. They're all app-based. And I would recommend looking at a two-factor authentication with a physical key. It's called Yubico or Titan. So to add additional security, if you purchase a physical key that has to be physically plugged into that Chromebook while you use it,
mm-hmm.
you're not going to get hacked, period.
Okay, what were the two names?
Yubico, I'll put a link up at Computer Talk with Tab. Yubico or Titan. These are physical keys that have to be present in order for you to allow for your account to be accessed. And that second factor is impossible to hack. It's physically connected to your like your keychain, let's say. So mm-hmm. when you see them out there, that little you can plug it into the USB port of your Chromebook, you log into your financial account. As long as that second factor where you touch your finger to the Yubico key exists, no one's hacking you, even if they have the password, right?
Okay. Right now I have set up, they send me a code, text me a code.
Yep, that's a two-factor authentication, which is nice. However,
would put in, but that, this would replace that?
It could replace it in a much more secure way, yes. Okay. If they support it, John, they may not support it. Some applications and some services will support that physical key. Some will not. However, when it is supported, it is almost it's impossible to hack. I shouldn't say impossible, but it's almost impossible to hack. Is there a way? Probably. I have no idea how, but you got to physically be there touching the device in order for it to allow the person to connect. So that's hard to duplicate.
Okay. One other question.
Yeah.
What do I do with my old computer? Now, I want to take these connections off. I cleared cookies and what else should I do?
Well, you can format the whole drive. How old is the machine that you're getting rid of?
I don't know.
Are you throwing it away or getting rid of it?
No, I'm going to use it for web browsing and everything. It's Windows 7. It runs perfectly. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it at all.
Yeah, I would clear the cookies on the browser so that all that is cleared. Go through all that history and clear it. I would even uninstall the browser completely that you were using after you've done all that clearing.
And then reload it.
Okay, but I would after you clear all the history, uninstall it. That way, there's no remnants of any of your passwords and stuff that you hopefully never saved on the browser anyways, right?
Oh, no, I never saved the password on this machine at all.
Good. So you're probably fine. Then you can go ahead and reinstall Firefox clean, and that should take care of it.
Okay, one other question, if I may.
Sure.
On the Chromebook, do I download any security? Do I get reset, or do I get...
WebRoot.
Malwarebytes and all this same stuff I have on mine.
You probably don't need Malwarebytes, but I would recommend a professional antivirus like ESET or WebRoot for that Android operating system.
Okay.
Because think of it as a smartphone. It's a big smartphone without the ability to make a call.
Right. Well, I use Android anyway. I have ESET on my cell phone.
Yeah. So get an antivirus minimally. That's a good idea. You don't need Malwarebytes because it's just a browser-based operating system. So I would just get...
Because the Chromebook won't even be plugged in unless I'm paying bills or doing something.
Yeah, I know, but you should still have antivirus on there.
Okay, good. Thank you very much.
You got it, John.
And this two-factor will be on your website.
Yeah, take a look at it. It's a very, very, very strong way to prevent access to online accounts because the physical key has to be present. And in this case, it'll be plugged into the USB port of your Chromebook only when you need it. So it can hang from your keychain if you'd like. Just take a look at it. It's an extremely powerful way to protect your system.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You got it.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Bye. All right. Let's go on to Bill in Windsor. Hey, Bill.
Morning, Eric. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Terrific. Thanks. I have a couple of questions. Mm-hmm. I use two-factor authentication, and I've created different lengthy, I think, complex passwords for the various sites I use.
Yeah.
The problem is that without my cheat sheet, I have trouble remembering these.
Right.
And I'm interested in knowing what your thoughts are on using password managers such as Dashlane or LastPass, which, as they claim, use rather complex algorithms to protect the passwords.
Yeah, I mean, so I'm nervous about those password managers, and I've not used them. Our password manager at home is a index card system. Unhackable, obviously. So you need a password at my house, you got to go find the index card. Obviously, if you use the two-factor authentication, like the Yubico key attached to your phone or to your computer, that adds a secondary security, so you're really in very good shape. But password managers worry me. They're a nice target. You can do some lookups on LastPass and some of the issues they've had with security. Some people are going to swear they're great, but I can tell you, you cannot hack my index card, period. I know it sounds silly.
No, but it's not silly because I use something similar. The problem is sometimes finding it.
Finding what? The card? Your filing system isn't...
If I'm not right at home to get access.
Gotcha, yeah. I understand, but I would tell you that that's unhackable, right? I mean, if somebody wants to break into my home and get my passwords, more power to them, but that's not how the bad guys work. They sit in some mud hut in the third world hacking you with phishing schemes where you actually enter your password. So,
sure.
I think password managers probably are okay, but I couldn't tell you which one to recommend, but understand they're a nice target, I bet.
Okay. And my second question, it's your recommendation. I've installed Webroot a few years ago, and
yeah.
I'm very pleased with it.
Yep.
It's only on my computers. I'm wondering if this should also be used on an iPad and an iPhone as well.
Well, Apple will tell you they don't get viruses.
I'm an Apple user, but I don't really completely believe that.
Yeah, and we've had some callers with some issues with viruses through Apple as well. You know, I would be less apt to recommend it on an Apple device, but if you've already got the Webroot account, you might even be able to load multiple versions on other devices. Check your account to see if you're eligible to load
I'd have to order a different package. I have it protected on different computers, but I'd have to add a different service to their service.
There you go.
The iPad,
yeah. So I would say they're not impervious, right? So my best advice would be to always have antivirus on your devices. However, Apple has done a pretty good job of keeping folks fairly safe. I say that with a grain of salt.
Sure.
But if you can upgrade your package to cover it, that's what I would do. If it's okay. Not too much more money.
No, all right. Really reasonable.
All right, Bill.
Okay, thank you. Happy New Year.
You too,
appreciate all the advice and your show.
Our pleasure. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock, guys. Fred, Peter, Antoinette, hang on. One line up and for you. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. And we are back. Actually, I'm back. Bob's off today. I'm Eric. This is Computer Talk with Tab. Let's get right to your calls. And we're going to go, who's been on the longest? We're going to go to Antoinette in Fairfield first. Morning, Antoinette. What's up?
Hi, how are you? I have a question.
Hmm.
I went to a website, and I've been having it ready for me to print, but what came up was a website. This was with a medical site, Nutrition 411,
mm-hmm.
and it says, you know, to add a Chrome extension in order for me to print the article I want to print.
Okay.
And I know you guys say don't be just checking off stuff. I've never seen that before.
Mm-hmm.
I've tested a couple of other websites, and their stuff comes up to download the PDF, and it just automatically downloads, or I can go to print and do that with no problem. But
mm-hmm.
this one here, I'm a little afraid of checking this because I've never heard of these people print friendly. And it has Chrome, Firefox, Edge, i.e. Safari, et cetera, to add a Chrome extension to print the article. And
yeah.
I've never had to do that with this website before.
I have not either. I've never had to load a print-friendly. It looks like it helps with PDF. It is an add-on. I wonder why that site would require that. I do see some information back to 2013. It's an older. It does optimize Chrome for web page printing. It seems legit.
Okay.
It does.
I've done it before on this website and never had this happen before.
Well, right. So they're either displaying the data a little differently, requiring a way to more friendly print it more easily for you through the web page. Is there no way to download a PDF then?
It doesn't. No, yes, I do. I have the printer set because that printer doesn't hook up with the Wi-Fi and stuff, and I just save it online. When I hit print on other websites, it comes up as a PDF, and I can just save it to my, you know, hard drive and put it in the files that I want, but no problem. But this was had taken me a little back because it had never happened before with
right.
this website.
Right, so you can't download it as a PDF, but this print friendly will produce a PDF for you of some kind, it looks like.
I may have to highlight it, you know, the proverbial print screen, you know, or highlight it and just put it in a Word document. I don't mind doing that, but I don't want to check on something and
right.
it messes up the computer.
I don't blame you. It does seem legitimate. From what I can tell, it's a legitimate add-on, and it's, you know, they're trying to save the planet. eliminate your ability to print.
Okay. It doesn't come up as a... And probably if I do it, it'll probably come up as a PDF save anyway.
Yeah, the goal is to try to reduce the amount of pages that can be produced from web pages when you print out articles and such. It's supposed mm-hmm. to generate it in a more environmentally favorable way because you'll use less paper.
Right. Can I ask one more question that has been
off?
When I have Chrome Mail... You know, Google Mail.
Yeah.
And YouTube
mm-hmm.
and Chrome are hooked up together now.
Sure.
What I don't like is I cannot close out the Chrome Mail and have my Yahoo saved from my library, the videos that I want to go back to save, as I have to keep the Chrome open in order to see the YouTube.
So are you using the YouTube?
Like, yeah, right. And I want to know, is there a way that I can close out the mail and still have my YouTube open? Because if I go to YouTube and I want to look at my library, I have to sign back in with my Chrome ID.
Yes.
But then it opens up the mail.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
And I don't like that. Because the hacking that's continuously open.
Ay, ay, ay. All right, but when you log in, Antoinette, up in the upper right-hand corner, the little picture is you, right? If you put your...
Yeah, it's me, right, uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So under there, you might have preferences that you can check off the email as a preference to show. I don't use browser-based Gmail, so it's not a top-of-my-head function to say how to turn that off because it's automatically bringing up your mail for you as a... sounds like a feature as you've set it up to do that when you log in. So if you go to your actual the little head there that that shows you're logged in, there are settings in that you can choose for preferences.
I think I went to that and I didn't see that because I'm doing that now. I'm in the Google Mail, one of them, and it said sync, manage your account. But when I go to that, I don't see that option. I went to all their links there
mm-hmm.
for that, and I didn't see where I can close that out.
Hmm.
And I was basically, I'm asking, is this a feature?
Right.
Because I look at it as a security risk to keep the mail open.
Well, I can tell you, I mean, in my family, we use Gmail as well, mm-hmm. only because we're an Android family. And that does not occur where you are forced to have the mail pop open when you bring your browser up. So it has to be a setting. I'll have to try to find that setting to let you know where to turn it off. But it's something you've chosen somewhere. Yeah. I mean, you're not bringing up your mail because you want to. It's coming up automatically when you bring up YouTube, right?
Right, when I bring up YouTube.
Yeah,
right.
So it's either a setting in your YouTube account or it's a setting in your Gmail, in your Google account where you've elected to have it come on or stay on by default. So I'll have to see if I can find a way to turn that off for you, Antoinette, over the next 15 minutes.
I would appreciate that. And one other question, because sometimes some of the videos come up and it says VPN. Is that really necessary?
The video comes up and says VPN?
Well, at the end, to protect your thing, it says get a VPN.
Oh, that's somebody marketing to you. So a VPN is a more secure way to do things online. So if you're in a public place, like a coffee shop or a hotel, if you connect to the internet with a VPN first, your activities on the internet will be encrypted so that nobody else in the pool area where you might be online will know where you're going on the internet.
Do you need to really get that for a website? Let's say you're setting up a website for yourself.
No, what do you mean?
Like I have a website.
Your own Antoinette website?
Yeah. Let's say, right. I need to have that for my website?
No, it has all to do with your usage of the internet, not for your website. Your website's already public. This keeps you more private when you're surfing on the internet so that when you're doing things like Gmail or YouTube, if you're doing it through a VPN, nobody else in the network that you're existing in, whether it be at the coffee shop or the McDonald's or the pool area in the hotel, they can't see what you're doing on your computer because you're under a VPN. Or within a VPN. That's why you use it. So that's what they're marketing about.
Oh, okay, because I'm trying to set that up to Wix. I'm learning how to do this stuff. It's
okay.
Taking time.
Yeah,
right.
go last to last week's links. We have a link to Proton VPN, which is a very highly ranked free VPN service out of Switzerland.
Okay, I took that down, but and I looked at it. I wasn't sure about that. Proton Mail, okay. I'll
not Proton Mail, the VPN. You can try Proton Mail as well, but they have a free VPN, which is pretty cool.
Oh, okay. All righty.
All right.
Okay, yes, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I'm wondering, so we're wondering if Antoinette's homepage is also part of Gmail. That might be the whole simple thing, is that it's her homepage popping up. I might be overthinking it. So Antoinette, if you're still listening, is your homepage your Gmail? If you default every time you open the Chrome browser to your Gmail account, if that's your homepage, it's always going to pop up because you told it to. That's probably the simple answer. We're going to step out for a quick break. We got Fred, Peter, and Gary on the line. One line open for you. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. Yeah, the more I think about it, Antoinette, I really do think you've got your Gmail as your homepage on your browser. So just change that to Google, like a Google search bar or whatever, as your homepage from your email, and I bet you that'll solve the issue. Let's go to your calls. I'm right to Fred in New Britain first. Fred, what's up?
Well, I'm trying to kick the big cable company to the curb.
Yeah.
And I've seen some ads for T-Mobile Internet.
Can you get it? Can you get it in your neighborhood?
Well, before I fill out all the forms, they want to contact you. So,
well, they should fill out. You should be able to put your address in there to see if you're even eligible for the area. Have you tried that?
It doesn't let you do that.
Oh, really?
Really.
Hmm. The ones I've checked recently allowed me to do that, and I found out the hard way that, if, unfortunately, they're not in my area.
I'll look further, but I mean,
yeah, it's a home. You're looking for cellular home internet, which is T-Mobile's offering it. Others are coming out with it as well. For was it $50 a month for
50? When that's it?
Yeah, and that's beautiful.
It's supposedly 50 meg.
Right, 50 megabits. I don't think there's any caps on it as far as data caps. Double check that. That's the biggest thing you have to be careful with cellular, is data caps. I think there's no data cap on the T-Mobile. And if it's in the area, you'll be able to really save a ton of money.
So what I read was there's no data cap, but when the network is congested, the speeds will slow.
That's probably true, right? So cellular is not really there yet for offering this type of service to home users. So you could be impacted by congestion, right? They're going to lower your priority to give it to the mobile carrier, the mobile folks versus the stationary folks, because you have a lot of higher chance of using a lot more data than the average person. So that's the only drawback. Check also to see if there's any alternative internets in your area, whether it be even Frontier or what have you. You know, a lower speed for less money. Most of this is all marketing and the bandwidth that they try to sell you. You only need, you know, 50 megabits or a little bit more than that, and you'll be more than happy with an average family.
I've had Frontier, and I had to dump them because the most I could ever get was 10 meg.
That's too low.
And I'd call and complain, and they'd change some software.
Yeah.
I'd get up to 10, and then it would drop down to 1.
Forget it. Yeah, that's too slow.
It was unworkable.
Yeah. What do you have now?
I have Comcast.
With how much speed?
I think it's 100.
Okay.
Which is more than I need.
Yeah, so you could see if they offer a smaller package, you know, cut everything else, and you could be happy with them too if T-Mobile's not in the area. Because I doubt it's really still spreading out very slowly, so I'd be shocked to actually see if it's in New Britain. New Britain's got issues with access to broadband. We've got customers that are literally right down the street from an old AT&T building, and they don't have high-speed internet. It's right near Main Street.
And I'm 100 feet off of fiber from CCSU.
Yeah, and you don't have that?
I'm on nothing.
Yeah, I know. It's awful. It's awful.
So, no, I completely understand. Now, does Verizon have anything?
You'd have to check. I don't know. These companies are starting to release it. I think Sprint is working on a home cellular that I saw. So you may want to check to see if they offer anything. You have to put your address in, right, so they know where you're interested and to see if they have got an antenna nearby.
And I know I'm line of sight to cell towers.
Mm, yeah, it's just a matter of if they got the service, you know, ready to go or not. But I know T-Mobile has been doing it for a while now. We've had a caller call in from the boonies who loves his T-Mobile internet connection. He's got some sort of grandfather deal where he's getting internet really high speed, very cheaply.
And I did look up and I put in my interest for the other one that the
GoNetSpeed.
Yes.
Yeah, put that in there. Everyone should put an interest for GoNetSpeed. I mean, 150 megabits for $50 is an lifetime pledge. You win. And West Absolutely. Hartford's got it now. The folks in West Hartford, if you're not on GoNetSpeed and it's in your area, I can't help you. What you're doing.
Well, I'll reach out to T-Mobile,
yeah.
See what happens. And
yeah, good luck
it, it kind of makes a difference of whether I go buy a modem and a...
Right.
And a wireless router and stay with Comcast and start ditching stuff.
Yeah, you'd cut the TV and you'd go over to YouTube TV or Hulu or Disney Plus. There's so many options.
Exactly.
And all your taxes and fees will drop like crazy. But if you just look at your taxes and fees with a cable bill, it's insane.
That makes up probably a third of it.
I know. Yeah, whereas if it's just internet, the taxes are almost nothing. Because
exactly, and that's why I was looking to do that.
Yeah. So I would check it out, Fred. Good luck with T-Mobile, okay. And good luck if you can't get it by reducing your bill with Comcast.
Thanks.
You got it.
Have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye. Cutting the cable. Best thing I ever did. Let's go to Peter in West Hartford. Hey, Peter.
Yes. I am one of the fortunate ones in West Hartford that GoNetSpeed is in my neighborhood.
Oh, you're so lucky, Peter.
And I'm ready to pull the plug. And I remember... a month or two ago, you were discussing it, but also
yeah.
discussed I would have a need to purchase my own wireless router, correct?
Correct. You're going to get the hardware. You're going to get it maybe an ASUS or Linksys wireless router. They probably will have recommendations for hardware that they would recommend you use, but any Linksys wireless router will be great, and then they'll probably, I think they provide the modem. Or you pay for the modem. I'm not sure. I'm not lucky enough to have it in my area. I would pay anything.
Yeah, you know, and because that was my question. When I started to do a Google search of wireless routers, I mean, you had them range from under 100 to many hundreds of dollars. And I said, okay, what's the sweet spot for somebody who is not an online gamer?
Right. They recommend them. They have got some recommended routers they put in here, like the R7000 they recommend.
Okay.
Or the Nighthawk AC1900. If you spend about $150, you can get a good wireless router for an average home. That'll cover it pretty well.
There was one that you had reviewed that had just come out recently that I'm thinking, was it by a company that's owned by Cisco that was...
Yeah, it's a Linksys. I run a Linksys ACS.
Okay.
1900, but not that's getting old now. But again, in IT world, 3 years is old. So it's probably not a good current recommendation. If they still exist, check them out. It works beautifully for me. But the beauty of GoNetSpeed, there's a link here as to how to actually what they're going to give you. They're going to give you the ONT provided NetSpeed modem, and you're going to connect it to your router. And they even show you how to do it.
Okay.
In a nice picture. But $150, $175, you're all done. It'll pay for itself rather fast based on whatever you're doing now for your internet provider. You're going to be so happy, Peter. I'm so jealous.
Well, no, that's great. No, I've got Frontier and...
oh, my gosh.
And actually what pushed me over the edge was when they dropped SNY, so I can't watch the UConn women or men's basketball games. And
that was it? That was the whole thing?
Well, that wasn't the whole thing, but certainly that and just seeing the cost of the cable coverage continue to go up.
Right.
You know, just, you know, I'm paying just a little, maybe $212 a month, and I don't have any of the additional, you know, I don't, you know, have any of the HBO or any of those
right.
Add-on services. And I just felt that as being abused.
So. Well, the amount of money you're spending, if you look at the prices for GoNetSpeed, it's a no-brainer. And then you go ahead and get YouTube TV. It has like over 70 channels for like $50.
Yeah.
You're done.
Yeah.
And you're going to get more sports than I even care to watch. I'm not a big sports guy, but SNY is on there. And then, of course, you can get individual ways of getting access to other services like SNY. So it's, yeah, go ahead. I mean, actually, SNY last weekend had a spot on this show talking about being dropped and what you have to do to try to get SNY. It's like, here's what you got to do. Cut the cable.
Yeah. So, well, in any event, that's what my query had to do with the type of router to get. So, terrific. Thank you so much. Love your show.
Hey, thank you, Peter. Good luck. And tell us how it works out.
Will do.
All right. Bye-bye. Oh, I'm so jealous. High-speed broadband, lifetime pledge, no data caps. He's going to get 150 megabytes, which is three times what he really needs, up and down. This is a synchronous connection to fiber for $50 a month, I think, is what they offer. I mean, if you're in that area, if you're in that service area, West Hartford, do Connecticut a favor. Hook up. The more alternatives we have in broadband, like this company, trying to bring us an alternative to these incumbent providers where they, you know, you've got these incumbent providers that are getting all the breaks, all the legislative lobbying, these guys coming in, nobody even cares that they're coming in. This is the internet we're talking about, the thing that's bringing us freedom to the planet, right? Internet. And we can't get a third alternative to our homes. These guys are trying to do it. So for just that reason alone, you know, as a commercial used to say, stick it to the man. Go with another alternative internet broadband provider. Do it for the rest of us so that they finally go to come out and spread around. I want to thank all you guys for joining me on this Saturday morning flying solo, and appreciate all your calls. I want to thank Mike for posting everything live over at computertalkwithtab.com. It's the name of the show.com. I want to thank Matt for producing. Stick around. Dr. Alessi's up next, and he'll give you a second opinion on your health advice. Stick around for that. If you like us on Facebook, over at Tab Computer Systems on Facebook, and Mark Zuckerberg deems the newsworthy, he might let it go into your newsfeed. We'll see you next week.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.